Welcome back to What's That Sound? With Nathan B and Cody P. Cody P, can you hear me? Do you know why I'm talking to you like this?
Hootie and the Blowfish?
No, you fool.
We were just talking about Hootie and the Blowfish. So.
No, I'm Eddie Vedder. Can't you tell the difference?
Yeah. No. Yeah. Yeah.
So you and I were just talking about this, and then we decided to record. Why does every song from the 90s sound like that?
Like, yes.
Why does everybody sing like... Or wait, let me try again. Who was I?
Scott Stapp.
Okay, that's who was in my mind.
Yeah.
So there is differences.
Mm-hmm. That was definitely more Scott Stapp-esque than Eddie Vedder. Because Eddie Vedder was... You know?
That's fair.
Yeah.
Yeah, one word as opposed to a bunch of words strung together as
well. We were talking about it in your office the other day. About how Eddie Vedder didn't really have, like, breaks in his words. About how he just kind of threw, like, 16 words together and made it one big long word. That's still kind of how I feel.
That's so funny.
That's not me hating, by the way.
I was just going to say, I love Pearl Jam.
Yeah.
I have a love-hate relationship with Scott Stapp. In the sense that when I was 16 and or 17, it was the cool thing to do. Was to dislike Creed or Scott Stapp as an individual artist. And so, of course, I jumped on that bandwagon. But as I got older, I realized that I was just a jealous
child. Just being a hater.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I feel that. I think there was... It's kind of like the whole Nickelback thing, right? Like, it's cool to hate Nickelback.
It's not cool to hate anybody.
Sorry.
I just hate Nickelback.
Yeah.
I listened to my first Nickelback song because of you the other day.
But it was better because it was Mike Portnoy playing drums.
Yeah. Yes. So good. So good. But I'm going to be honest. I hate Nickelback the same way I hate Steph Curry.
Oh.
Do you know who Steph Curry is?
I do know who Steph Curry is.
Okay.
Why do you hate Steph Curry? Because he hurt us.
He is incredible at what he does.
Okay.
He is so good.
He's very good.
And it makes me so mad that he's so talented. And it's like, I respect Nickelback because they're good at what they do.
Absolutely. They got the dad rock down.
But that's why I don't like him.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. But why does every song from like the 90s sound the same? At least rock.
Rock.
Like, kind of grungy.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, yeah. Let's just, yeah. I guess rock. Well, because there was. Well, what are some of the 90s rap artists off the top of your head? I'm kind of blanking.
I'm kind of blanking too.
Which is dumb because I listened to rap.
We were just talking about this last night.
Yeah.
My mind goes to Death Row Records, Dr. Dre, Snoop Dogg, like early Snoop Dogg, Eazy-E.
You know, I guess that actually kind of, you know, maybe if somebody didn't know rap, they would say this sounds exactly the same. Well, you know, this guy sounds exactly the same as the guy that was on that Doctor album, and it ends up being Snoop Dogg. Well, of course
it's the same guy.
Yeah, it's the same guy. So of course, you know, Audio Slave sounds the same as Soundgarden. You know,
a little bit,
or Stone Temple Pilots sounds the same as Velvet Revolver.
Ooh, you pulled out the Velvet Revolver on me. I'm shocked. I'm surprised you know who Velvet Revolver is.
Of course, I know who Velvet Revolver is. I hate Velvet Revolver.
They had that Slither song.
I don't hate Velvet Revolver.
Oh, they're good.
Yeah,
they're good.
Yeah, they're good. Very talented. Very talented super group of musicians. Which is kind of what I thought we would talk about a little bit today is
supergroups.
Supergroups.
Okay.
Okay. Do you know much about supergroups?
There's a couple. Them Crooked Vultures is one that comes to my mind. Almost Guns N' Roses at one point after Slash left after an altercation with Axl and the rest of the group, and they picked up a guitarist named Buckethead.
I'm yeah.
If you're familiar with Buckethead,
yes.
I'm blanking on some other super groups here.
Well, the one that I'm most familiar with is Traveling Wilburys or Wilburys. Have you heard of them?
I have not.
So very interesting. I'm familiar with the group of Traveling Wilburys, consisting of Tom Petty, George Harrison, I believe, the drummer from the Beatles.
Okay.
I think Willie Nelson made an appearance. Neil Young made an appearance.
That reminds me of, like, it wouldn't have been considered a supergroup in the day, I guess. Maybe it would have, like, the Highwaymen.
Yes.
Along the same lines, kind of.
I believe so.
Because that was, oh, God, I don't want to be wrong here. Was it Hank Williams?
Oh, I love me some Hank Williams.
The Highwaymen. Google, help me.
While you're doing that, the Traveling Wilburys, yes, George Harrison and ELO man Jeff Lynne had such a good time making the Beatles' Cloud Nine album, blah, 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 that they made a supergroup, mostly including of Bob Dylan, Tom Petty, Roy Orbison.
Okay.
And then they would basically just alternate members in and out, or if bands were traveling together and some of them were in the group, the Traveling Wilburys, and then, yeah, of course they would get together and jam live in front of the audience. Why not?
Right.
You know? I believe my parents went and seen them a few times.
That sounds like a heck of a group, though.
I like me some. I'll have to show you some of their songs.
I refrained from the cuss word.
I'm proud of you. We're trying not to cuss because we don't want to have to put guitar stings in the middle of everything.
It's pretty funny, though. I did lie earlier. The Highwaymen was Johnny Cash, Waylon Jennings, Willie Nelson, and Kris Kristofferson.
That's who. So I was thinking of that. I thought Willie Nelson also made an appearance in the Traveling Wilburys, but
Maybe he did.
But yeah, I'm Willie Nelson. Let's see. Traveling. Thank goodness for technology. Traveling Wilburys. Hello, I'm Nigel Wilbury. It's an old reference.
There was.
Nope. He was not.
What's another super group? I think them Crooked Vultures had, it was Dave Grohl on drums, I think.
Them Crooked Vultures.
And then it had John Paul Jones, the bassist from Led Zeppelin.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I can't remember where the vocalist was from. I guess I could look it up real quick.
Yeah.
I guess Audioslave is also considered a super group.
Audioslave, Temple of the Dog. Velvet Revolve. Oh, I didn't know Bad Company was a supergroup.
Because right here, Audioslave was Chris Cornell. Rest in peace, may he. And then Tom Morello on guitar, which I forgot about.
Wild.
Yeah. I don't think, whenever I hear Tom Morello, I think Rage Against the Machine. Right. Always. I forgot that he was part of Audioslave with Chris Cornell.
This is wild. So I'm looking at this list on Google. Cream.
Oh yeah, I mean that's a classic, right?
I didn't know. I just always associate. It was just like, oh, Eric Clapton,
mm-hmm.
Right? Asia, Bad Company, Derek and the Dominoes.
Bad Company is, I guess, surprises me. Crosby, Stills, Nash and Young.
Oh yeah.
I mean, what about Led Zeppelin? Would you consider them a supergroup because it was just four amazing musicians who came together in the year 1968, and then they became one of the most like prolific rock bands ever? Are they a super, like, they are a supergroup in stature, but it wasn't like a group of musicians who came together from different groups. I mean, I guess it was, though.
No, not in my head. In my head, Led Zeppelin has always just been Led Zeppelin.
Right.
That's all there is to it.
Yeah.
Because I didn't know any better until just now whenever you said that.
Right. Well, because there was a group called the New Yardbirds.
Oh, duh.
Which had Eric Clapton in it.
Uh-huh.
And then Eric Clapton went and made Cream after he left the New Yardbirds. And then Jimmy Page went and joined Led Zeppelin.
Yep. So interesting. Well, if you ask some people, Led Zeppelin's not a supergroup because of the Led Zeppelin controversy.
Yes.
Which, that would be a pretty good episode.
That would be a good episode.
Yeah.
I think we could save that for an entire, maybe half an, or just music controversies in general in an episode.
That might be our special edition 12-hour episode. We'll somehow
Spotify said we
together.
Could upload a 12-hour podcast if we wanted to. God, I would need an Adderall prescription for that, I think.
I got you, Shug. Yeah, that would be a good one. But yeah, no, that's really interesting. Interesting to think about. So seeing that all these musicians played together, it only makes sense that musicians from the 90s sounded the same, because they were a lot of the members probably crossed over into other members' groups.
Yeah. We were just talking about before we started recording about kind of grunge in the 90s and how there was a group called Mad Season, Temple of the Dog, Alice in Chains, Pearl Jam, all that kind of stuff. There's a whole lot of crossover, a lot of meshing that happened with those groups. I feel like you can sort of hear in their music, in their catalog, a lot of that crossover.
Indeed. Now you got me looking up. I was a big fan of the band Live, which a lot of people that I've talked to about that band didn't know it was a band. They always thought it was Pearl Jam. So I'm actually looking up to see if any of their members had any crossover, but I don't think the internet knows what it means whenever I type in live band.
That's fair. Live right. Videos. Yeah. Now this is interesting to me. Journey. Okay. I guess two of the members played for Carlos Santana. And then another member played for the Steve Miller Band.
Interesting.
Yeah. Today I learned.
Huh.
Right?
I...
Like, who knew? Not me.
Oh my goodness. There's so much. I knew a kid that said Carlos Santana was his dad, and everybody thought that he was crazy, and then he proved it with a DNA test.
Wow. There, funny sidetrack story. I was at a little bar downtown one time, and I met a guy who swore up and down that Tupac Shakur was his father.
Okay.
And this dude pulls out his phone, and he's being like, yeah, this is my baby mama, you know, like, this is my mama. I was born, like, right after Tupac died, and yeah, I think he was full of manure. Because he did, and he was a rapper. And I was just like, come on, man. You are not Tupac's son. I hate to break the news to you like this, but it's not you. You are not him.
Okay, but what if he was, though?
But
why
what,
is it? So
I'm still friends with him on Facebook.
I'm curious, why is it so hard to believe that these people wouldn't be related to musicians, though?
It's far-fetched.
It seems a little far-fetched. I grew up in a town of 2,000 people. And all of a sudden, this little kid with, you know, curly hair and glasses, you know, he's coming into the grocery store that I work at. And the first thing he says to me is, he's Carlos Santana's son. It's just like, man, you've got an imagination on you, you know? But it also didn't help that he would come in with his mom, and he said, yeah, he doesn't believe that I'm Santana's son. And she just kind of like, oh, you're so funny. You're so funny, right? Meanwhile, his little brother looks the complete opposite of him, with like really pale skin and blonde hair.
Right.
And then, yeah, come to find out, it legitimately is Santana. This kid, he's not a pathological liar. In Oklahoma. His mom went to go see a concert once.
Or a few times. Okay. I see what, okay. So he was his son, but not his son.
Right. Well, so I hope I'm not spilling the beans on things that aren't supposed to be spilled here, because this kid...
You heard it here, news breaking in the year 2024.
Wow. This kid, they would go see Carlos Santana regularly. He would go visit his father.
Okay, so he was a dad to him. He was doing the dad thing,
yes.
Which makes me happy because I love Carlos Santana.
Same, yes. He wasn't just kind of a deadbeat thing. So much so that, like, it's basically, the reason the mom wanted to keep it such a secret was because she didn't want her son,
of course,
to kind of, you know, go live the rock star lifestyle, right, and stuff like that. Yeah,
absolutely.
But yeah, no, it's my understanding, because I'm still in contact with this guy too.
That's cool.
Yeah, it's my understanding that that he dadded the best he could, given the circumstances.
That's
so
good.
Yeah.
Temple of the Dog that I mentioned earlier had Chris Cornell,
mm-hmm,
as the vocalist, and I believe the drummer of Pearl Jam, or a couple members of Pearl Jam, Eddie Vedder appeared on a song with Temple of the Dog. I think he was just a guest vocalist, who we all know went off to Pearl Jam, and he met a member of Soundgarden in Temple of the Dog as well.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to think what songs I might know.
By Temple of the Dog?
By Temple of the Dog. Are there any that get radio play?
There's like one or two specific ones that do. One called Hunger Strike.
Okay.
Say Hello to Heaven.
Am I going to have to take a pause listening break?
You might have to, because that song is amazing. It's one of my favorite Chris Cornell performances,
mm-hmm,
personally. Amazing song. I can show you later if you'd want.
Yeah.
Unless you want to take a break right now.
Well, I'm trying to think if there's a way we can get around, you know. No, there's probably not a way we can. Yeah, we'll check it out later. You know what? Let me write this on my notes. Say hello. Great, wonderful. Because I've heard of Temple of the Dog, but none of their songs come across my mind.
Yeah,
actually, a lot of these supergroups that are listed, I just can't. I thought a supergroup, whenever I heard of the Traveling Wilburys, it was such a cool thing. It's like, oh my goodness, all these stars are in this band, all these talented musicians that have, you know, traveled the world are in this band together. This is like catching a shiny Pokemon. It seems like it would be incredibly rare, but after looking at it, it's not.
It does not seem to be rare. It's just they almost turn out to be one hit wonders.
That was my nickname in college.
One hit wonder? My name was Coley P.
You still need to tell me that story one of these days.
Yeah, we can get into that. But yeah, they make decent music, but it's almost like people expect more out of them because it's this group of prolific musicians who all in their other groups made this amazing music.
Yeah.
So they expect this to be just that much better because there's four of these guys together that are all amazing musicians, but it doesn't always work out.
Like the NBA All-Star game.
Like the NBA All-Star game where they just scored like 211 points or something like that.
Mm-hmm. I'm not impressed. I'm kind of impressed with it. Well,
they don't play defense.
They don't play defense.
Yeah.
All right. This is a music podcast. I'm sorry. I won't.
That'll be the other podcast. The Basketball and Magic the Gathering podcast.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes, we like Magic the Gathering. And if you... No, don't.
Yeah, don't. No. You're correct. If you like money,
yeah,
then don't.
If you like having a family.
Oh, I'm so...
Let's oh, see goodness. Here. I'm looking through this list of supergroups, and I'm just like, nothing's really standing out. Velvet Revolver, okay, had Scott Weiland,
uh-huh,
from Stone Temple Pilots,
uh-huh,
Slash,
uh-huh,
Duff McKagan, which is, yes, from Guns N' Roses, a guy named Matt Sorin, who I believe is also from Guns N' Roses, and Dave Kushner, from a group called Electric Love Hogs.
That's a pretty dope name. Yeah. I've never heard of them.
Mm-hmm.
Let me tell you, like you just said, you're looking through this. Nothing really stands out, which is kind of what stands out to me. Yes.
This one stands out. Mad Villain.
Mad Villain.
MF Doom and Mad Lib, dude.
Yeah.
That was a good project.
Lytyrix is in the same category as Mad Villain.
Right.
Yeah. If you don't know who Lytyrix is, you should just go check him out. L-A-T-Y-R-X or something like that. They make some weird hip-hop, but two very well-known artists decided to come together for a project, and it's good.
One thing I would like to say is, I know in the actual podcast, we probably can't talk about rap music. Last night you suggested a rapper to me. We might be able to talk about rap music, but it's kind of hard to get to like the production side of stuff there. I mean, we can get into that.
Oh, I will.
But I love rap, and I've almost wanted to suggest a couple of rappers that you might not be familiar with, because that's more your territory. But I listen to rap that you don't listen to.
That's true.
Just like some other music. So I think it'd be cool to have you listen to a couple songs from rappers that I listen to that I think you would actually enjoy. I'm not going to give you mumble rappers like Future or something.
Thank you.
No, I'm going to send you to 21 Savage instead. No, but if we could find the room somehow, I think I would be able to like to talk about rap at some point as well.
If you don't mind me taking over half of this with just my voice, I will go through the whole history of hip hop with you. It is incredibly interesting.
Right.
Just everything about it is so interesting. I had in college, back when I was the Minuteman, I had a, they made me take a speech class again. And, at the end of the year, our end of the year final was to, of course, give a speech. And so I gave a speech about the history of hip hop, which I was real big into. And she loved it so much that she signed me up for a speech competition. I was in college. I didn't know that was a thing. I just wanted to go to class and get A's or B's and leave. I got F's, by the way.
You don't have to out yourself like that. Nobody asked.
Well, someone's going to find. They'll find my transcript. But that's a whole story, too. My first couple years just completely bombed. But she had signed me up for this speech competition, and she didn't tell me what she was doing. She just came up to me, and she said, "Nathan, here, time and a date and a place. Be there and be prepared with your speech." Okay, cool. This must be another part of the final. So I show up, and there's like a whole panel of judges.
Okay.
Four judges in this room. And my speech started with kind of a little rhyme, like a rhyming scheme, talking about how it all started. And I didn't win. I got second place. And it's so funny because I had the rhyme scheme was meant to be kind of a rap, which I had done in class. And the teacher told me not to, or she would have liked it better if I didn't try to rap it. And instead just say the lyrics more like poetry. So I did that.
You're doing some slam poetry, dude.
Right. So I did that for the competition. And they said, it would have been better if you had rapped it like a rap.
Oh, verse. Come on.
Yeah. I was like, come on. Yeah.
Get out of here with that.
Yeah. Funny stuff.
I'm still scrolling through this list over here. And here's one that I listened to initially that I thought was going to be good. Now, here's the thing. It has the vocalist from Van Halen that everybody doesn't like as much as the other vocalist.
I know.
It's got it's got Sammy Hagar.
No!
Yes, I said his name.
Van Halen, not Van Hagar.
Right. So That was good. So Sammy Hagar, Joe Satriani on guitar.
Okay.
If you're familiar with Joe Satriani.
Let's pretend like I'm not.
Steve Vai was, or I can't remember which way around it was. I think Steve Vai took guitar lessons from Joe Satriani.
No way.
Yes. Yes. Steve Vai took guitar lessons from Joe Satriani. He's an extremely prolific, virtuosic guitar player. Absolutely fantastic. Michael Anthony from Van Halen and Chad Smith from the Red Hot Chili Peppers on drums. So that's like an actual super group.
How do you pronounce his last name? Satriani?
Satriani.
Joseph Satriani from Wikipedia. Yes. Early in his career, worked as a guitar instructor. His students included Steve Vai, which let's talk about him in a second.
Sure.
Larry LaLonde?
Not familiar.
Are you not familiar? Kirk Hammett.
That's Hammett? The big name.
Mm-hmm.
My boy.
Yeah, Charlie Hunter, Kevin Cadogan. Man, some of these names are hard to pronounce. Let me just butcher all these. But, yeah, I mean, there's some pretty big names in this. That's impressive. Mm-hmm. This picture they have of him, man, I wanna be a rock star. Is that a Nickelback lyric?
We all just... Well, I can't sing it.
Rock star.
Yeah, they have a song called Rockstar.
This guy's 67 going on, like, 40, man. He looks...
No joke.
Prime of his life.
He's looked the same for the last... well, he had very long hair in, like, the late 80s, early 90s, and then he shaved his head.
Man. Incredible. Yes, I'd never heard of this. That's what... That's the fun in this, is you are throwing names at me that I should know.
Mm-hmm.
No, I don't know who this is, man.
He's along the same lines of Steve Vai, a guitarist named Yngwie Malmsteen.
Uh-huh.
I put them... Yngwie Malmsteen is more of like a shred god.
So I've heard Yngwie Malmsteen. That's probably the first time I've ever said the name out loud.
Mm-hmm.
I have heard of and heard. Can you think of anything they have done that might ring a bell for me?
Oh, Yngwie?
Uh-huh.
I can't name any songs. No, I haven't listened to him enough myself. I've watched plenty of his videos. The thing is he shreds too much for me, because that's all he does, is he shreds the entire song.
Oh.
Not to say that it's bad. It's extremely impressive. It's just kind of hard for me to listen to sometimes.
Yeah, I feel you.
I like little breaks in my music.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, I'd put Joe... and Steve kind of, and Yngwie in their own little world.
I could see that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I could see that. Because, like, so going back, let's talk about Steve Vai.
Mm-hmm.
The first time I have heard of Steve Vai, I was in my dorm room playing Halo 1. And my roommate at the time comes in, and he goes, "Oh, Steve Vai," and just sits down. And I what did you just say?
Right.
Steve, you don't know who Steve Vai is? What, are you fucking crazy? Mm-hmm. Man.
What's the time?
27:19.
It was 27 minutes last time, too.
All right, you're going to hear a guitar squeal, future me. You don't know who Steve Vai is, heard it, or he's going on and on and on. And I was just like, I have no idea. And like, I had just started making music for myself, but I'm not, you know, I'm uncultured when it comes to a lot of this stuff. So he pulls out his guitar. And it is an interesting looking guitar. It almost looked like a Squire, like a Fender Squire, a Stratocaster or something, with like a little handle in it. And it was black and it had like flowers printed on it.
Okay.
And he's like, "This is a Steve Vai." He pulls his amp out and he plugs it in and just starts shredding.
Your roommate?
I was like, yeah. I had no idea he knew how to play guitar. Yeah, I know how to play guitar. I make him sound like a total tool. I love him. Okay. He was so funny. This was my college roommate, old Kevin. And so he was the one that introduced me to Steve Vai, even though I had been secondhand listening to Steve Vai, like, you know, through Halo this whole time.
Yes.
And so he told me to look up the song Build the Church.
Okay.
I believe is the name of the track. And it's 9 minutes of just some of the cleanest, like, double neck guitar. I was like, "But who is this man?"
Dude, I'm telling you.
What's crazy is hearing a musician so talented, and thinking to myself, why have I never heard of this? Why aren't more people talking about him? Why is it such a niche collective group that knows who Steve Vai is? You're the only other person I've talked to about Steve Vai.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
I think it's not something that everybody can listen to, because not to sound pretentious, I don't know if it's something that everybody can appreciate, because the amount of talent that goes into it, if people don't understand guitar playing,
sure,
they can't really understand what he's doing. And I don't know if that sounds bad or not, but like, the stuff that he does to that instrument is almost inhuman. It's out of this world what he does. And if people don't know what they're looking at, they see his hands moving really fast.
That's a good point. Yeah, that's a good point, because people don't typically get into like the deep side of their interests until they're into the interests.
Yeah.
Skateboarders don't watch X Games probably until they've stepped on a skateboard and learned to ride.
Right.
You know,
I didn't start watching professional tennis until I started taking tennis lessons.
Right.
In high school. And then I would sit down every time the French Open or Wimbledon was on and be mind blown about watching these tennis players because they were so good.
Yeah. That's a good point. I think you're probably onto something with that. I mean, I'm not a basketball player. I still watch NBA. This is the third time I brought it up this episode. So, but you're absolutely correct. What he was doing was mind melting.
Yeah.
And you're correct. I did not understand what was going on.
And that's not to say that you can't enjoy it.
Right. I think having a musician background that I did helped me.
Of course.
Enjoy it. And, you know, it's just like, I just wanted to soak it in.
Crazy thing about Steve Vai is I watched an interview with him at one point, and he said his first lesson with Joe Satriani is that he wanted him to come in and name every single note on the guitar fretboard.
Oh, okay.
And he said he was only in there for about 10 minutes before Joe Satriani sent him home and said, if you don't learn this, I'm not going to teach you.
What?
Yeah, that was his first lesson. which is really crazy to me. If that shows you how hardcore Joe Satriani is.
Wow.
Yeah.
So Steve Vai is 63 years old.
Mm-hmm.
Let me just math this up real quick. 63. Oh God, too many numbers. 63 minus 46. He was 17. Mm-hmm. I guess when he started. So he's been playing for about 46 years.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's professionally or if that's the first time he recalls picking up a guitar. That's a good run.
That's a very good run.
I assume that's probably professionally, because when people ask me how long I've played drums for, I tell them I started when I was 10 years old.
Right.
Okay. So that's 24 years. That's, that's 2/3 of my life. That's
whenever
nuts.
Whenever I said yesterday that I played guitar for about 14, I was like, that's half my life. You know, like,
yeah, that is crazy. But if I wanted to get down to, like, I guess the technical, or, you know, if I wanted to be more specific, do I count the time that I was bad at drums?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Should I start telling people that I was 17, you know, playing in bands or whatever?
Right.
So, you know what? I want to say he's been playing for 56 years.
Maybe
he probably started when he was 10.
Yeah, probably.
Or 7. Anyway. Yeah, incredible musician.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so yeah, he made the very infamous Halo song that everybody knows with that screaming guitar in it.
So good.
And there's videos of him on YouTube recording it. Mm-hmm. And don't take this for fact. I will state that right now. I think that he recorded that song in one day. I think he showed up at the studio and he said, I just would like to get this done. And they basically let him sort of jam on it for a while. And then they recorded it because they were like, that's the one that we want.
I believe you're correct, because I was so infatuated with it. I ended up watching a documentary about the Halo theme.
Mm-hmm.
And they, you know, they had orchestra and I mean, they recorded live orchestra for that.
I think he was the last thing that they added to the song.
Yes, he was. And he came in. Yeah, you said it, man. He came in, just nailed it. I don't know if he listened to it beforehand. I don't know if he had the means to.
I think that was the first time that he'd heard it. Like, they got him in the studio and he just picked up his guitar and started. And I think a couple hours later it was done.
So good, man.
Yeah.
I'm reading up on this now. The orchestral members were from the Chicago Symphony and the Chicago Lyric Opera.
Wow.
Orchestra. Yeah. And they just kind of tacked those in when needed. And this is for the Halo soundtrack.
Mm-hmm.
Which, you know, it's interesting because now I might have to re-listen to this, because I remember specifically like the Steve Vai Halo intro. But I also remember the orchestral part as well. Is that two different songs, or was that one long song, or is there two different versions?
I think it's the same. Like, they have one that would play in the menu of the game.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the song with the guitar played in like the final mission of the game. You're driving a warthog. Everything's blowing up around
you. You can't copyright drums,
right? But you know, you're driving a warthog. Everything's blowing up around you. There's Covenant chasing you, and then the song kicks in, and you hear the bum, 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 bum.
Oh god,
you know what I'm
so
saying?
Good. Anyway, that's the only note I'm gonna sing on that.
Yeah,
so good. Wow, I can't believe we
deviated
just a little bit. So anyway, we're now a video game podcast.
Yeah, well, I was gonna say,
what's that game with Nate B and Coley B?
Yeah, that's another fun thing that we could talk about at some point. Is maybe if you have music from a video game that you really like,
Sonic 3. Sonic the Hedgehog 3 soundtrack. I was gonna have you listen to it, and I've been debating about it back and forth.
Is that the one that Michael Jackson helped with?
That is the one that Michael Jackson helped with, and for years he allegedly helped with it, but it wasn't confirmed until after he'd passed away, and somebody finally came out and said, yes, he came in, and he's like, hey, we need a little bit of, you know, Yeah, so good. I love Michael Jackson. Like,
I do too.
Yes. People can hate on him all they want, and I will defend him till my last breath. Incredibly talented. But the Sonic 3 soundtrack was good. Sonic 2 soundtrack was good. And this is the original, like, Sega Genesis Sonic games.
Yeah, I love it how you were, like, bursting to say Sonic 3 before I even got it out of my before I even got it out of my mouth.
Sonic 3. Sonic 3 and Knuckles.
Not the echidna. Laugh break.
Oh, so good, man. There's something to be loved about 16-bit music.
I love Mega Man.
Yeah.
And Mega Man X. X1, X2, and X3 on the Super Nintendo. Banger soundtracks.
So, there's that ASMR I've been dying to hear.
Anytime you want it.
Sorry, I'm trying not to throw up.
I thought you said it didn't make you want to throw up.
Today is different. What's that thing where you can't listen to certain sounds?
I can't say what I want to say. The test, you know.
Oh.
Are you being a little 162 right now, Nathan?
just a little bit. Yeah, we're going to have to... We'll discuss video game tracks very soon, I think.
I think that'd be a lot of fun.
Yeah, there's a long range of... Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, kind of deviated, like you said, supergroups. Yes.
I would like to go back to the why do all 90s songs sound the same sort of type thing right
now. Yeah, okay, let's do that.
Is it a little bit of confirmation bias, perhaps? You go, is that a big word for you?
Yeah, can you dumb it down, please?
So, like, if you're looking for something brown, you're not going to notice everything that's red. So, like, if you're looking for something to sound like this, you're going to think it all kind of sounds the same?
Confirmation bias definition. New evidence. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So, you know what I'm saying? Right. So, like, we think all these bands sound the same, and they sort of do sound the same, but there's a lot of stuff from the same era that does not sound the same.
That's true. I was listening to Eve 6 the other day.
Not familiar. You're going to have to learn me?
I might have to learn you. I don't know enough about Eve 6, but they also have a touch of that, you know, kind of sound, but not quite. But it's definitely more, what would you call it? Maybe like pop rock is not the right word by any means. And if you've never heard them, they were... So my older sister would listen to these bands. Eve 6 and Everclear, I feel, go hand in
hand.
Ooh,
okay? Everclear.
Yeah.
I'm a big fan.
Yes. Everclear, the singer for Everclear, do you know his name? Because I don't.
Oh, not off the top. Let's see if Spotify can save me. Vocalist and guitarist Art Alexakis.
Art Alexakis. He has a distinctive voice. His voice
stands out. Yeah.
Sugar Ray is pop. Sugar Ray
yes.
has a distinctive voice.
Absolutely. Los Lonely Boys kind of fit in there for some reason too, you know?
I almost made a Los Lonely Boys reference yesterday, and I didn't know if you would... I shouldn't doubt that you would know who the heck I'm talking about.
Right. So,
anyway, so yeah, confirmation bias. I think you're probably onto something because... But at the end of the day, also, it was just a lot of... I mean... Spotify wasn't around.
Mm-hmm.
If you didn't know where to look on the forbidden website, Napster,
Lars Ulrich,
then you were just destined to listen to the radio or CDs. But where did you find out music that you like to listen to other than the radio? And at that time, the radio I listened to was Alice in Chains and Pearl Jam and Live, and you know, just all of these bands that sounded very similar.
Radio probably had a lot to do with it. Mm-hmm. Because they're trying to tap into what people enjoy at the time, you know, and that's what was big at the time.
Sure.
Excuse me. So yeah, maybe it just received a lot of radio play at the time, and that's kind of what was in. Soundgarden's kind of right there too.
Oh yeah. So you're telling me I should have changed the radio station?
No. Listen, I've listened to the same rock station here my entire life, and it's the same dudes in the morning show every time for the last 25 years. They've been doing it forever. I don't want to dox myself. People already probably know where I live, right?
They know. No, Texas, right?
Yeah, Texas.
With Polyphia, right?
Yeah,
up the street.
With Polyphia. Yeah, really, really close homies.
Oh my God, I'm having a brain fart. Nirvana. Singer of Nirvana.
Kurt Cobain.
Thank you. I had a joke. Kurt Cobain was the original mumble rapper.
I would argue it was Layne Staley.
Okay.
All right. Alice in Chains.
Yeah, that's fair.
But was Kurt before Kurt was before Alice in Chains?
Could have.
Maybe?
Oh, God. 1987, probably about the same time. Where did Alice in Chains come from? Was that a Portland band?
Yeah, it was. I don't know if they were Portland. Let's see here. Because that's where a lot of grunge came from.
Mm-hmm.
Alice in Chains, Seattle, Washington. So, Washington. Very close to Portland, Oregon.
Pretty close. Rivals.
Yes.
In... a sports scene that I've brought up for the fourth time now.
NBA?
Yeah. That's the one.
Oh, my gosh. The National Basketball Association?
I thought it stood for Nathan B. Association.
The Seattle Supersonics and the Portland Trailblazers?
So, bands of the 90s. Man, there's so many. And I listen to... Yeah. So it's probably confirmation bias looking at this list. Nirvana, Pearl Jam, Red Hot Chili Peppers, Smashing Pumpkins, Green Day, REM, Weezer, Radiohead, and Soundgarden, Alice in Chains, Foo Fighters. No Doubt, Metallica, The Cranberries, Stone Temple Pilots, Nine Inch Nails, Pavement, Rage Against the Machine.
Yeah, there's only a couple of artists in that list that you just named that I'm like, they had a kind of a distinct sound.
Yeah.
They all, and that, maybe that's just the era, like Rage Against the Machine, totally left field compared to everything else that you just named.
100%.
But that was their whole shtick, right? Like they were like sticking it to the man.
Absolutely.
But like you said, Nirvana and the Smashing Pumpkins and Alice in Chains and all that stuff. And Metallica, I guess, was heavier than everything else. Plus Metallica had already been around
quite a while.
10 years. Yeah, 10 or so years. Mm-hmm. I think their first album came out in 78. I think Kill 'Em All came out in 1978.
Could be. This says Metallica since 1981, but I don't know what that entails.
Right. And well, they had an EP on a tape called No Life Till Leather, and then they did Kill 'Em All, which is an amazing album, by the way.
That's a good
I love that album.
U2, Sublime, Guns N' Roses, Jane's Addiction, Oasis, The Flaming Lips, Blink-182,
Dave Navarro,
Third Eye Blind.
Flaming Lips?
I forget about The Flaming Lips.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's
Wayne Coyne.
A Wayne Coyne.
I've talked to that man.
Me too. He what did he say to you?
He was ordering coffee from me when I worked at Starbucks.
That's the same thing he said to me.
Yeah.
No,
I can't remember what he said to me. I just remember thinking it was a very awkward interaction.
he's a neat individual. When I had met him, it was at the school I'd gone to. He was in there. It was for like a master class, and he came up and shook my hand. He told me he had heard of me through some of the other people at the school that work there.
Well, that's cool.
He listens to some of my music and likes what I do. And I'm going to be honest, like, I'm not a big fan of the Flaming Lips, but I, again, respect it.
Yeah, absolutely.
I was diet starstruck.
Of course.
Because it's like, I don't like you, but you're a celebrity.
Yeah, no, that's how it felt whenever I talked to him too. And it wasn't a bad interaction.
No. He's a neat guy. He's a neat guy.
I just remember realizing that he had dermal piercings in his cheek.
Yeah.
And that really threw me off.
Yeah.
He had a smiley face button on like his upper cheekbone.
Uh-huh.
And it was just right here.
That's so weird.
Yeah.
I'm into it though.
Mm-hmm.
Blink-182, Third Eye Blind. Aerosmith has been around since the 70s, but of course they came out with music around them. Blur. Yeah. Black Crowes. Sonic Youth.
Where's my boy Bush? My boy's Bush.
Oh, Bush.
Bush.
Bush is a band I think about a lot.
I like Bush.
I like Bush because they sound like Pearl Jam and Alice in Chains
together. Had a baby.
They had a baby. No, I like Bush.
Yeah.
I did not like Bush for a long time. Very mm-hmm. similar to Creed. And then I finally got a hold of a Bush album, but I don't remember which one it was. And I just listened to it front to back. And then I listened to it again and again and again, and I could not put it down.
Yeah.
Very good. It's the album where he's like holding a sun or a lamp in his hands.
I have Spotify for this.
Oh, there we go.
You can keep talking while I'm looking this up.
Garbage, Korn, Faith No More.
Korn.
Since the 80s. Smash Mouth. That's the other thing that's interesting about 90s music is how the genres get broken up almost every few years, because
yeah.
we had the grunge sound in like the late 80s and early 90s.
Bush was in the 2000s.
No.
Yeah. Their first album came out. Hang on. Am I looking at the right thing here?
Because this one says since 1992.
Well, for some reason, Spotify says their first album was released in 2002.
That's interesting.
Let me go to Google instead.
Huh.
Bush Band. Got to make sure I throw band on there. So some weird stuff.
Based on your search history.
Yeah, right. It says 1992. They're British.
I didn't know that.
Wikipedia, discography. 16 Stone came out in 1994.
Wow.
On Interscope Records.
Okay.
Shout out Interscope. That was their debut album, which had Glycerin and Machine Head on it.
Mm-hmm.
What else did it have on there? Okay. Not much that I'm too familiar with, but yeah, Glycerin and Machine Head were two very big singles that came out on that album.
Man.
So yeah, mid-90s.
Mid-90s. Goodness, this list. Yeah, here's Everclear. My Bloody Valentine was since the 80s. Wilco, 1994.
Dude, Everclear is... I don't know too much of their music, but the song Santa Monica, that was one of the first songs that I learned how to play on guitar because it's really simple power chords.
When I think of quintessential 90s music, that's who comes up is Everclear.
Yeah.
Because I think... Probably because I was born in 89, but it's like grunge is a baby of rock, is a baby of metal, or, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. It all kind of evolves from each other. And then comes this dude with fast guitar and a different voice than anything else that was getting played on the radio. And it's colorful and it's bright and it's high contrast. It just stands out and it was everywhere. So whenever I think of the 90s, I think of Everclear.
That's fair. But on the other side of that, you had Korn that released their self-titled album in 1994 as well. So you've got Bush that releases this album, or Everclear, I guess, and Bush. Sorry, my mind was still on Bush. Everclear. Thank you for the little giggle. You've got, you know, these bands all at the same time, but Korn is over here in left field.
So that's, yeah, they are.
And I feel like that's where, like, you can start to see shifts in music.
Absolutely.
Is whenever people start to deviate from what's popular at the time and do their own thing.
Yes. And do their own thing. That's the biggest thing.
Have you ever watched Korn's performance at the 1999 Woodstock? Was it in 99? I think it was in 99, right?
I don't know.
Well, now I'm going to have to check myself before I wreck myself.
Oh, riggedy wreck?
Woodstock 99, yeah. Have you ever seen Korn's performance at Woodstock 99?
No.
So, you know, Woodstock, it's supposed to be this very peace and loving type thing, and everybody's happy and everybody loves each other. And then main stage one night, I think they might have been a final act for the night, Korn comes up. And there's an interview with a security guard who's in front of the stage, and he said he was terrified for his life. Because he said he could see the crowd in front of him start to, like, undulate as everybody's getting excited. And there's, like, 100,000 people there, and everybody's moving side to side. And Jonathan Davis gets up on stage, and he just starts doing his thing. Uh-huh. And this security guard was convinced that he was going to, like, lose his life at this Korn show because they had that much sway over the crowd. I think that year Limp Bizkit also performed.
Okay.
If you remember Limp Bizkit.
Yep.
Fred Durst. Fred Durst. Going back to Creed real quick. Did you know that Fred Durst was not a fan of Scott Stapp? At all?
I have no idea.
At all?
Why? Is there a reason?
He doesn't like the way he looks or something like that. Or he just does not.
I hate that guy because he's good at music. Well, he's more handsome than me, and I'm jealous.
Well, there was a show where Creed played before. I think Creed played before Limp Bizkit. And then Limp Bizkit goes out and just dogs on Scott Stapp as a person. Fred Durst is just like, F that guy, you know, F his music. And he's just going in, and then he goes and, like, breaks stuff by Limp Bizkit or something like that. He just goes in on Scott Stapp. And I can't really remember what for. I think he said Scott Stapp was, like, egotistical, which
I could,
like,
kind of see that
fits the bill a little bit.
Yeah. Scott Stapp, if you're listening to this, please don't.
No, I love you. Yeah. I love you, and I love your music.
Yeah, we're just telling stories.
Yes. Don't shoot the messenger. Sorry, I feel like I'm talking too much.
No, you're doing great, man. Kind of thinking about what you were saying, where music branched off. You're correct. That year, or around that year, just seemed to be huge for bands. That's about the time that Smash Mouth came to be. Yeah. 94 is when the band got together. I know that All Star was the big hit, but I think that was 99.
I remember owning their physical CD that had, like, a limousine on it going through space.
Yes.
And I think that had, like, Walking on the Sun, or Walking on the Sun on it.
Yes.
1997. It's called Fush You Mang.
Wow. Wow. I
did that get you?
Wow. That's hilarious. Because I remember seeing the album, and again, I remember being a kid, and, like, my buddy had that album. And we just were saying the title of the album like it was nothing. I didn't even realize.
Yeah.
That is so funny.
Yep.
Holy
moly. We were young and innocent, Nathan.
What happened?
But yeah, they were one of those bands that I felt like sort of bridged the gap between mid-90s to early 2000s pretty well.
Mm-hmm.
And for some reason, Santana comes to mind, even though I know he had been there for quite a long time in between. But there's a song, Smooth, with Rob Thomas.
Yes.
Yeah.
Rob Thomas, Matchbox 20.
Yeah. Matchbox 20.
Wow. Yeah. Right? Matchbox 20. Wallflowers.
Wallflowers.
Mm-hmm.
Good stuff.
Man. Oh.
I can't believe I forgot about Matchbox 20.
You almost forgot about.
I almost did until you gave me that look.
Listeners, I've got a question for you all. Did you guys forget about Dre? And I also feel like I have latency now.
Yeah.
Yep, it just popped and...
Yep, now there's latency.
Yep.
So we're going to take a quick, brief pause, and you guys won't hear it, but we'll feel it. Be back shortly. And we're back. Pete up and G'd up from the feet up.
Yeah.
Ready to continue this conversation?
Beber agua.
Beber agua. Yeah. to drink agua.
I was thirsty. When you talk for 55 minutes and don't drink a single ounce of fluid, your mouth gets a little dry.
Remind me to keep chicken broth in the studio.
Chicken soup.
Chicken soup for the teenage soul. So I brought my drum in here.
Okay.
So I could play some music if you wanted. And you and I are going to form a super group. Where we go, we're going to play music in a church for troubled teenagers.
And we panhandle.
And then grift them for money.
Yeah.
Move up to New York and tell them it's because God told us to do it. What do you think?
Why New York?
We can move.
I'm adverse to New York. I was thinking more like North Dakota or something.
Because I've never been to New York.
It's not great, in my opinion.
That's fair. A lot of rats.
Yeah, rats the size of your arm. When I visited New York City, I was there for a day because my dad lived in upstate New York for a while, and we went. I visited one year. He took me to the city, and I'm talking piles of trash along the roads everywhere that are like 6 feet tall.
Those are just humans.
You're right.
That's. Yeah, that's...
And then it cost us like $200 to park for the day.
Ugh.
Like, I think it was like $150 or $200 for a parking garage the entire day. They couldn't cook a steak to save their life.
Mm-hmm.
My mom ordered a steak at a restaurant, and she ordered it like medium rare, and it came out like well done. And then...
Here's that New York steak you ordered. Right? Like
then, yeah. And then the, you know... My mom wasn't throwing a fit, but she was like, this is a little too overcooked for me. And the waitress goes and talks to the kitchen. The waitress comes back out and says, the chef says you cut the steak wrong. I'm not making that up. If she would have cut it differently, it would have been cooked differently.
Oh, my God.
So, yeah, my opinion on New York has been skewed ever since.
Okay.
They also have Spike Lee. And I wouldn't want to have to see his annoying face at every basketball game I go to.
Okay. Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah.
Well, maybe we'll.
But maybe I just need to get a New York state of mind.
That's pretty good. Was that a Jay-Z reference?
Yeah.
That's a good. Mm-hmm. Thank God. Dude, if I missed that, that'd be embarrassing.
Mm-hmm. It would be. I would be embarrassed for you. Because I almost said it was a Nas reference.
Nas!
Nas.
That was close. I almost did my Nas voice. It's copyright.
Nasir Muhammad?
Yeah, man.
Basketball. God, we need a Nas.
Is that the fifth reference?
That was fifth or sixth.
I think
it was fifth.
Basketball is my favorite sport.
Well, it might have been sixth reference because it had Spike Lee,
mm-hmm,
but
mm-hmm.
He was a director, I guess.
Sure. I just love the way they dribble up and down the court.
Yeah.
There you go. That's it.
I had to get that one out.
I had to. I'm looking like that. Anyway.
What's up next on the agenda?
What is up next on the agenda? Not a lot else that we can say about supergroups. I don't think. Or there is.
Well,
and I just don't know what to talk about.
I did just show you "Say Hello to Heaven" by Temple of the Dog.
Yeah. Yes, I know that song. Yes, I've heard that song probably hundreds of times. And I just, that's kind of what I was saying earlier, is it's interesting to me. I didn't get a chance to say it earlier. I meant to say it earlier. It's interesting to me when you look at the list of supergroups and you look at the members of the supergroups, how many crossover bandmates there are.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And, so, like, I was looking at this list, and Eric Clapton popped up in so many of them.
I bet.
You know? And it's just crazy. That actually does remind me, side project bands.
Okay.
Okay. So, like, what's the difference between a supergroup and a side project, in your opinion?
In my opinion, it's how much, like, if they put their main group on the back burner,
uh-huh.
I wouldn't really say that's a side project. Like, for instance, there's Slipknot.
Right.
Everybody knows Slipknot.
Mm-hmm.
The vocalist's name is Corey Taylor. He's got a side group that he's a vocalist of called Stone Sour.
Mm-hmm.
He has never stopped with Slipknot, but if he wants to just sing, and he also plays guitar in Stone Sour as well, mm-hmm. Sometimes, or most of the time. Stone Sour is a little bit of a juxtaposition from Slipknot. It's a different, it's softer rock compared to what Slipknot is. Slipknot's a pretty heavy metal, new metal, whatever you want to call it.
Sure.
I would consider like Stone Sour a side project for him.
Okay. Whereas, like, again, the Traveling Wilburys all played the music, the same genre of music in that group that they did in their main groups.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm wearing a Tool shirt right now. Maynard has three bands.
Mm-hmm.
Tool, obviously, and then a band called Pussifer or Pucifer.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
And then, which is kind of like a weird electronic type band. Okay. Very interesting. And then a band called A Perfect Circle.
Mm-hmm.
And now, what was funny is when I was looking through that group or list of super bands, A Perfect Circle was listed on there,
mm-hmm.
because it had Maynard from Tool, a drummer named Josh Freese, who's been in a lot of bands, and he just got picked up by the Foo Fighters to replace their drummer that passed away. His name is escaping me at the moment. Taylor Hawkins.
Mm-hmm.
May he rest in peace. He was great. But yeah, a Perfect Circle was considered a super band, but I wouldn't even consider that a side project for Maynard, because he's still, well, okay, it might have been a side project because Tool releases an album every decade.
That's a good point.
Yeah, so I feel like it depends on how often they release music.
Okay.
And what else is going on with their other group. If they're taking a break, if they're not touring, and they still want to work on music, perhaps, mayhaps.
That's I think that's a good way to look at it, because even here, like, a joint side project consisting of members of multiple known bands is known as a supergroup. But again, like, when Velvet Revolver came out, mm-hmm. it was a side project. It was always
Scott
introduced
Weiland,
as a side
right?
project. Yes.
Yeah.
A Perfect Circle was introduced as a side project.
Mm-hmm.
But then you hear about, again, the members that were in these bands, by definition, would make it a supergroup. But then again, Stone Temple Pilots wasn't doing anything.
Right.
But Velvet Revolver was.
Yeah.
Guns N' Roses wasn't doing anything, so Velvet Revolver was.
Mm-hmm.
Soundgarden and Audioslave.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I don't know if Soundgarden ended, or if they broke up, or if they were still together, because I feel like this is unknown territory for me, but from when I grew up, all I knew was Audioslave.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I knew that Soundgarden was a band, but I don't think they were still actively making music. I could be completely wrong.
So, I guess the band did dissolve in 1997, but they got back together in 2010. And then Chris Cornell, when he passed away in 2017.
Oh. So sad.
Yeah. And so after that, they had disbanded again. You know, so I'm not big. I don't get affected at the passing of a celebrity's death.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I've never been huge into pop culture and stuff like that. But that one, I think it bothered me because of how many of my friends it bothered. Does that make sense?
That's
and
fair.
Don't get me wrong. It's a shame. Like it's terrible.
Yeah.
That he passed away. Lost talent for sure. But it did. It definitely, a lot of my friends were incredibly upset about it. And in turn that upset me.
I respect that. And not every celebrity death hurts me. I mean, it's like you said, it's all very sad.
Yeah.
Loss of talent, loss of friend, loss of family member, obviously all coincide with that. I was bummed when Chris Cornell passed. The only celebrity death that's really affected me was Chester Bennington from Linkin Park.
Sure.
Because Linkin Park was a huge part of me growing up. I listened to Linkin Park from the age I was probably like 5 years old, you know, and I'm 29 now. And they helped me through a lot of my teenage angst, which I'm sure a lot of people can relate relate to that. And just with their last album with Chester that they released, there was a couple of songs on that album that was like a cry for help, in my opinion.
Mm.
And yeah, it was all just very sad.
God, that's rough.
Sorry to sour the mood.
No. It makes it really difficult to say what I was going to say next, because it was going to be a joke, but...
say your joke. We can brighten it back up a little bit.
The celebrity musician death that affected me the most was Michael Jackson. But that's because I was on the phone... buying tickets to his concert when he died.
Oh my God. You're kidding.
I'm dead serious. I was on the phone.
Dead serious?
I am.
Gotcha.
Yeah, that was good. So I was at my grandma's house, and I was using her landline.
Landline.
Yes.
Those things still exist, by the way.
They're
just rare.
They do. Yes. Yeah.
Anyways.
So I was using my grandma's landline to call this toll-free number to get tickets to Michael Jackson's This Is It tour.
Mm-hmm.
And I was going to go with my buddy, and I was I on the line talking to the woman, and she had put me on hold. Okay. And about that time, I get a text. On my little Kyocera Soho cell phone. Texts were 5 cents a minute then, or five cents a text then. And so my buddy texted me. He said, "Turn on the news." Okay, so I get the remote, turn the news on, and at the bottom ticker, it talks about it's breaking news: Michael Jackson just died.
Unbelievable!
I said, "Are you kidding me?" My birthday was a couple of weeks away.
I know your birthday now.
Yeah, yes,
I remember
you
it.
Do. My birthday was a couple of weeks away, and that was going to be the first concert I had ever been to, and I was a huge Michael Jackson
Holy
fan.
Holy smokes!
Josh and I were, we were going to go together, and so then he's just like, turn on the news. Oh my God, yeah, and so
I bet you were devastated.
The lady gets back on the line and basically just tells me we can't fulfill the order, but doesn't tell me why. But I know why. It's there on the news in front of me.
Yeah,
yeah. I was really upset. I was really bummed out. Yeah,
yeah,
incredibly bummed out. And it's so silly. And another reason I was bummed out is because I would always have these favorite bands, and then I would talk about wanting to go see them in concert one of these days. And so, like, you know, I loved Sublime. Come to find out, he died when I was six.
Yeah,
you know, the singer of Sublime died when I was six.
Yep.
That's fine. I'll just go to a Jimi Hendrix concert.
Yeah.
Well, so sorry, son. My dad said, "Yeah,
yeah." God bless.
Yeah.
I forgot.
I forgot. Oh my goodness. Yeah. I don't even remember what we were talking about. What prompted that? Oh, supergroups and side projects. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Anyway, I don't know. I think we kind of touched on that. I guess it really does determine what is the main band doing. I always assumed a side project would be like, you know, I was in a rap group for a few years, and we did shows constantly. My side project was me as an individual making dance music.
Yeah.
You know, that's all there was to it. So, A Perfect Circle came out. I didn't understand why people hated A Perfect Circle so much, because they loved Tool.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, well, this is just the singer for Tool. Like, he's just going out there and making his own thing. Like, why do people hate it? And you still get those purists to this day. I talked to one the other day at work, and they were very adamant that, you know, it's not the same thing. It sounds completely different. You just don't understand. And I'm like, I mean, that's fair, but like, his voice is still there, and it's still his creative mind. It's just a different part of his brain being tapped into.
Yes. Me being
a purist.
Do I say purist? I don't know. I,
because this is a topic I don't think we've ever talked about before. Did I just hit below the belt?
No, that wasn't below the
belt.
Are
we still friends?
We're still friends.
Okay.
I'll kiss you after this. It's okay. Tool and A Perfect Circle, in my opinion, are two completely different groups.
Sure.
They make completely different music. It is Maynard's voice, but he does sing differently. He's got a heck of a range. And like, they release an album, Perfect Circle release an album called Mer de Noms. I just probably butchered that. It's French, which means Sea of Names.
Okay.
And each song on that album is, I believe he equated it to somebody that he knew in his life. Every song on that album is about somebody that he either knew or he's read about or something like that. And it's like a different emotional side of Maynard compared to Tool. He talks about more political stuff with Tool. I don't know. Yes, it's the same person, but it's a different side of him.
Sure. I see your point of view. And I will also say that my I don't know how to put this. My view is kind of shallow when it comes to genre classification.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But for somebody to be as into them as you are, mm-hmm. which arguably is more than me, I had to ask you what his name was, you know, last episode.
Yeah.
Then I can see that there would be differences. I looked up the genres, of Tool and A Perfect Circle. Tool is considered progressive metal.
Okay.
A Perfect Circle is rock.
Yeah.
Okay. And so I'm going to show my bum again. For me, the genre umbrella is, instead of a bunch of tiny, like,
mm-hmm.
it is, there's just a bunch of big ones.
Yeah.
And so you have rock, and underneath the rock umbrella, are subgenres. Like metal and progressive rock and pop rock and country rock and, you know, whatever. And like, I know that they're different and there's differences, but it's all rock.
It is.
At the end of the day.
I will say there's a big difference between metal and rock, though.
Sure.
I would consider Metallica metal. They're thrash metal.
Okay.
Or old Metallica. Slayer, thrash metal. Iron Maiden, I would consider like early metal too.
Okay.
Rock bands, I think, like almost like Nickelback, you know, Nickelback is like a rock band.
Yeah. And like, I guess I couldn't necessarily see Nickelback opening for Metallica or vice versa.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, they're both huge bands, right?
Right.
But see, I'm not really a genre stickler.
Okay.
I know there are people that are. But yeah, I get what you're saying. Rock is rock.
Sure.
You know, it's got guitar and it's got drums and it's got this angry vocal technique. The only thing that I would be a stickler about genre-wise is certain types of metal. because I listen to a lot of metal that you don't listen to. Mm-hmm. And there's black metal, mm-hmm. which is very specific type of metal. There's death metal, which will use a lot of blast beats on the drums, tremolo picking on the guitar. There's death metal, which is... did I already say death metal?
Black metal.
Black metal. Yeah. Black metal, deathcore.
Deathcore.
Which is like slower than death metal with way chunkier guitar.
Okay.
And breakdowns and stuff like that, where death metal doesn't really have breakdowns.
Sure.
So like to differentiate between those two, because it all falls under the umbrella of metal.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of different...
which is under the rock umbrella, by the way.
Metal's under the rock umbrella?
It is.
It is.
Yeah.
Oh, you got me. Garrett, what were you going to say?
It's... So, I just realized that I categorize by how it's produced.
Oh, no.
Yep. And... So rock, when I think of rock, it's guitars and drums and singing / screaming. Okay, whatever. Okay, so what evolved from rock? Metal. Okay. So somebody figured out how to turn the gain on their amp up to 11 and play a little bit faster.
Up right? to 11?
Up to 11.
We're going Spinal Tap in here?
And then you get to some of the other subgenres of metal where someone says, hey, if I drop this E string down to a D, you know, then it sounds heavier. Hey, if we play fast and then cut the tempo in half in the middle of it, people will jump around and punch each other in front of us. And like, so everything, and so it's genres and subgenres are, in my opinion, just an evolution of a genre that already exists.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Cause now there's a genre. It's funny. There's a band that I listen to called Periphery. There's a genre called, djent.
What? It
starts with a D.
Oh no.
D-J-E-N-T.
That's what you call me when you're mad at me.
Degenerate. Yeah. And Periphery just released an album. It's their most recent album called Djent Is Not a Genre. But the thing is some of their music is djent music, and that's the whole thing, is like they're like, don't categorize us as that. We play metal, you know? Like, we play metal, but, like, they fall under that djent umbrella, you uh-huh. know?
Yep.
Yeah, it's... Genres are silly.
It's silly. I think it's silly when people are, I think, just so hardcore about the, what's the word I'm looking for? Just, like, the tiny differences. I made... dance music, I told you, for a while, and somebody asked me what kind of music I made, and I said, oh, techno, and I played it for them, and they said, this isn't techno, this is house.
There's a difference, though.
There's a difference. What's the difference?
Techno usually, oh, God. So... house music always has a steady BPM to me that's probably a little bit slower than techno. Mm-hmm. Techno, I feel like, is usually more upbeat mm-hmm. than house. But that's not to say that they can't flip-flop sides.
Sure.
I also feel like techno has a lot more interesting, weird effects used on it than almost distorted effects compared to house music. House music is probably a little bit easier to jump around to and dance to. Mm-hmm. And then techno, you're just standing there like, fist,
140 BPM instead of 120 BPM.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. There are slight differences.
Mm-hmm. But it's electronic music. It's all electronic.
It's all electronic.
Music.
Yeah. I don't think people that defend their genre are wrong. I always just found it silly. With that being said, so
for instance, there's like the big four bands. Do you know who they are for metal?
Oh man, Metallica, Black Sabbath, Sony BMG. Wait, let's see. you said the big four for metal.
Yeah.
I got this.
They did a tour together or a couple of shows together.
Wait, when you say metal.
Old school.
Okay. All right. Am I close?
Metallica was one of them.
Mm-hmm. I'm just going to start naming off bands. Okay.
Okay.
All right. Oh God, I'm panicked now. Iron Maiden.
Stare into your soul.
Say that again.
I'm going to stare into your soul while you're doing this.
Oh God.
Judge you the entire time.
All right. I'm trying not to Google this. All right. So Metallica.
Mm-hmm.
I give up.
That was quick.
Yeah.
Metallica, Slayer.
Oh, I almost said Slayer.
Megadeth.
Megadeth was who? Okay. I promise I didn't almost say Slayer, but I kept trying to remember Megadeth.
Yeah.
But I could not think of their name.
Yeah.
Which is why Metallica came out.
Yeah.
Well, I knew Metallica was correct.
One of the first guitarists for Metallica went and formed Megadeth.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So you were there.
Okay.
Yeah, Metallica and Metallica.
Yeah, Metallica 1 and 2.
Uh-huh.
Slayer.
Uh-huh.
Static X. Pantera.
Anthrax.
Anthrax. Close enough,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, whenever you said Static X, I wanted to say close enough. Rest in peace, Wayne Static, man. He's been gone for far too long. But yeah, like they're like the big four thrash metal.
Mm-hmm.
Metallica, Megadeth, Slayer, and Anthrax. I've almost seen all of them live. The only one I haven't seen live. I was supposed to see Megadeth, but their drummer broke his foot.
Oh. He was drumming too hard.
Yeah. Yeah, I was supposed to see him at Mayhem Fest. But instead I saw Trivium.
Trivium.
And Disturbed.
So, sorry.
You're good.
I just Googled big four metal bands.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Metallica, Slayer, Megadeth, Anthrax, and 47 more. Oh, Google. You're drunk.
Silly Google. Metal's for... I don't know where I'm going with that.
So what is big four of... is that like the grandfathers of thrash music?
Yeah.
Okay.
Basically, they're like the... kind of... I don't want to say patented thrash metal, but they kind of did. Absolutely.
Well, the big four record labels is EMI, Sony, Universal Music Group, and Warner Music Group.
I'm not shocked about any of that.
No, I'm not either.
I'm not familiar with EMI, I guess.
I'm not either.
But the other three I am.
Wait a minute. Sorry, I'm like looking at way too... Oh, yeah, no, that's an old article. Big four. Now I'm curious about big four in genres, period.
Okay.
Like, is there a big four? There's... because, like, I know we talked about it the other day when I sent you that George Clinton song. There's G-Funk,
mm-hmm.
You know, which is... it's funk, but G-rated. Just kidding. Funk music incorporated into rap and hip hop, and a lot of people say that Dre was basically the father of G-Funk, which I agree with that. I don't know who else had G-Funk music at the time other than like Snoop Dogg and people on the Death Row Records label.
But see, this is where we can get into like, I don't want to say rap genres,
mm-hmm.
but like subtypes, because you had West Coast rap, you got East Coast rap.
Let's call it semantics.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Meanwhile, you got Eminem with D12.
The Dirty Dozen, dude? D-Chicks don't even... Nope.
That's good. No, I'm cutting you off there. Yeah, we're going to have to talk about that. I think the big names and genres and people or groups that started genres that branched off to be other genres, that could be a pretty interesting topic. Yeah.
Yes. That's Alice.
She's crashing at the bedroom door or studio door. Former bedroom.
Is it time?
It's almost time. We got about 6 minutes left before we hit the hour and a half mark. So we can probably waste 6 more minutes or call it here.
Let's waste six minutes.
What do you want to talk about?
Well, we have found the tracks that we would like to talk about next.
Yes.
You have picked Paul Simon's Graceland album for me.
Yes.
And I've already listened to some of it,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
and I like it. Mm-hmm. And I made a comment last episode about how there was no rhythm to it. but there is rhythm to it. Mm-hmm. I just missed it.
Yeah.
Because I was listening to it with headphones this time. And so I'm excited to listen to that. It's like you said, it's not something that I would normally listen to.
Mm-hmm.
But I respect it and I like it. And that's probably all I'll say about it for now. We'll save the rest for next time.
I think that works. It is it's an interesting album. And that's all I want to say about that too.
You can tell the era that it's from, you know, and that's not bad. Like you can tell, God, when was that released?
Oh my goodness.
70 something.
That's a good question. I'll have my notes next time.
Paul Simon.
Oh my gosh. My dog is going crazy.
Was released. Graceland was released in 1986.
Yes.
Whew, I was way wrong.
That's okay. Just a couple years before you were born. and the songs, you chose individual songs for me, saying I can listen to one or I can listen to all. I would like to listen to all of them and take basically production notes on all of them, just things that I note, maybe miking techniques that was used, things that I noticed in the mix down. I'm pretty excited to listen to that. Hyperdrive by Devin Townsend. H by Tool.
Mm-hmm.
And is this Equivocator?
Equivocator.
By Their Dogs Were Astronauts.
Which is a very silly name.
Sure, it is. Equivocator. I looked at that and I was like, Ecuador.
So I actually, whenever that song came out or that album came out, I looked up the word equivocator because I wanted to know if they made that word up. And it's actually not a made up word. It is a respondent who avoids giving a clear, direct answer.
Say that one more time.
A respondent who avoids giving a clear, direct answer.
Oh, like me.
Yes.
To avoid getting into trouble.
Yeah. So you don't lie, but you tell a half truth.
I feel so seen. Is there a reason you...
No.
No, that song is just very good. Are you equivocating me?
No, that's just a very good, very good song.
I like it. I'm excited to see.
It's instrumental.
Good.
Yeah. The other two are not. No, I won't say too much. I won't spoil too much.
All right.
Another one thing I will tell you about that Devin Townsend song, as I mentioned to you earlier, not on the podcast, that it was like a solo project for him where he did absolutely everything.
Mm-hmm.
The thing about it is he used a program for the drums. He didn't actually play the drums. He used Easy Drummer.
Really?
Yeah. Drum Kit from Hell or something like that. Mm-hmm. Or yeah. He used Easy Drummer on it and he made it sound very good. You can, I mean, to like an untrained ear, it probably sounds fine. To somebody who, like you or I, who actually like really listens to music, you'd be like, yeah, that's not a real drum kit. But it sounds good enough.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I'm excited to see. I might have to look up maybe other bands that have used Easy Drummer to see how they've used it as well.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to.
Yeah, there was a couple of things that I wanted to let you know beforehand. Another was that Devin Townsend has synesthesia. And having learned that and going back and listening to a lot of his music, to me, it's apparent, even though I don't have a synesthesia, that he has synesthesia because he wants certain tracks to feel a certain way.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, I dig it. I dig it a lot. I'm very excited to take some time and listen to these. And I'm also very excited to hear how you are going to feel about the Graceland album.
Yeah. I think I'm going to enjoy it more than I thought I would.
I think so.
Have an open mind. That's what this whole thing about this is to me is listening to stuff that I haven't really listened much to before. Or, as you mentioned last night, going back and listening to something that I've listened to 1,000 times.
Mm-hmm.
And
but maybe with a different ear this time.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Christian, it was fun.
It was fun.
We're going to wrap this one up for the day. We got a D&D game we got to get ready
Dizzle.
For. I got to go put my wizard costume on and... It just takes forever to.
Yeah, I gotta put
up,
my dog costume on.
You said dog costume?
Yeah.
You know, I hate that dog costume.
Well,
You bought it for me.
Good God. All right. So until next time, this has been What's That Sound with Nathan B. and Coley P. Everybody have a good everything and enjoy whatever you're doing.
See you.